someday I'll find it. And I'm still reminded.
You're listening to Montezuma Mixtape. On this show, we provide evidence to the claim that everyone has a story to tell. And maybe you've told that story twice. And then again and again. Then maybe it's the best story you know how to tell. Then it's your people telling your other people. Ask Bob about the toboggan and how he lost his pinky toe. It's the story we tell around the campfire when we warm our hands and our ears are open. The story we tell on the first date to conjure laughter from across the table. The story that brings the party to a huddle and the night becomes a brimming reservoir of curiosity and superstitious happenstance. These are stories about ourselves or stories we heard about somebody else. About the corporate job you held while living out of your car for a year. Or the day your older brother got caught TPing the clergyman's garden. These stories are heartwarming or disturbing. God's honest truth or a load of bunk. To put it simply, these stories are good stories, moving, memorable, and repeatable. The purpose of the show is to cultivate the stories that come from your neighbors' mouths. Give them a megaphone and show that a small town county is, without exception, full of big stories. Stories are what turn a community into a place of characters. Let's become familiar. This is an icebreaker where old news is encouraged. Each episode, we have a new guest. Each episode, a new story. The second component of the show is music. Music to show how stories find new expression in other mediums and art forms that place us deeper into a thatching. Each episode, there will be an original mixtape that aligns with the story, not necessarily stylistically, but thematically. So listen close and connect the dots. Our guest this week is Caitlin Summer Mott.
Somewhere near a canyon in Dolores, Colorado, lightning flashed, illuminating sheets of rain and slick canyon walls. Simultaneously, a crash of thunder caused the young girl to drop to all fours, as the rocks on which she stood seemed to shudder and strain under the heavenly onslaught. She knew there was a rock shelter somewhere along this ledge. She and her brother had spent days playing in this canyon, and she liked to think she knew it like the back of her hand. Steadying herself but staying in a low crouch, Skookie blew on her hands for warmth as her mind's eye flashed a scene of her mother and brother getting into their van and pulling away, leaving her with her father and stepmother. There was nothing she could do about that now. Standing up, she began to inch away along the ledge, stopping a second later as an almost human voice screeched behind her. Had already seen the dark, hunched-over mass behind her and shushed her mind as it began telling her all about cold, wet, and hungry mountain lions. Just get to the rock shelter. If it attacks you on the ledge, it will fall off too. At least that's what she told herself, but she doubted very much that the large cat could not easily pounce, kill, and eat any kind of prey wherever and whenever it chose. Her fingers came to a lip in the rock, with her hand and arm following as they pulled her into the shelter. In the few seconds since she'd entered the rock shelter, Skookie had visualized how she'd take care of the lion. She whirled and kicked with all her might, landing a solid blow on what must have been the beast's nose, since it gave way under the kick. Ow! What the hell'd you do that for? That really hurt, you jerk! Who are you? Skookie managed. Why are you following me? Following you? Ha! Following you? I'm not following you, you little moron. I was trying to find shelter from the storm's fury. Unbeknownst to me, another type of fury was waiting for me in here. You know, I've been trying to get your attention for a while now, hence my calls of, "Hello and good day, fellow traveler. Shall we traverse the countryside together, as we seem to be going in the same direction?" The beast seemed both indignant and hurt that Skooky had spurned his friendly advances. "I didn't hear you say that. All I heard were screeches and yells. If I'd known you were friendly..." Skooky's voice trailed off, her mind trying to make sense of the bone-like objects her eyes had seen in a flash of lightning, another providing her mind images of golden eyes with sideways rectangles for pupils, which burned black in the flash. "What are you? I don't think you're a lion anymore." "Well, to be perfectly honest, I am probably the most beautiful, the most capricious, the most handsome black goat you've ever seen."
First time I ran away, I saw faces in the trees. I heard voices in the storm. They said, "Ooh,
as a waterfall."
"I am probably the most beautiful, the most capricious, the most handsome black goat you've ever seen. Not to mention the best dancing goat, and the goat who can yell most like a human. We really love doing that, yelling like humans. It seems to either really crack you up or freak you out, and we like both reactions." Perhaps a common child would react poorly to this type of interaction. After all, when other animals choose to include us in their talkabouts and we suddenly find ourselves not only understanding, but contributing to the conversation, we humans tend to believe we have lost our minds and things are no longer making sense. Perhaps you think the fever's heat has made my mind delirious, or you think, "I can understand what my dog is telling me right now because I am under a lot of stress and my mind's exhausted." This is, of course, the exact opposite of what is happening. When we finally understand that the other animals, that is when we have lost our madness, come to our senses, focused our minds, and re-engaged with the whole conversation. Reading such books as those in the Narnia series, Fellowship of the Rings, and or the Green No, spelled with a K-N, books, can help one's mind re-accept such possibilities. Luckily for the sake of Skookie's sanity, she had been born and raised on such books, and was always more surprised when the other animals didn't talk with her than when they did. Pleased to meet you, goat, if that's what you want me to call you. Do you have a name? Do other animals do that? Psh! Do other animals do that? The goat said in a perfect mockery of Skookie's voice. Yes, other animals do that. So human, thinking you're the planet's greatest, best, most important gift ever, thinking you're all unique, the goat muttered. My name happens to be unpronounceable in your simple tongue. It means dark, brave one who is dark. But you can call me goat for short. Unlike humans, we aren't embarrassed to be reminded of who we really are, and don't insist on being called our born-given names. Geez, goat, aren't you a little bundle of joy? I'm not like other humans. I've had conversations with other animals before. Listen, I'm really sorry I kicked you in the nose, and I don't want to argue with you. I'm just tired and cold and want to sleep. Can we call a truce for tonight? Oh, a truce, huh? Well, I certainly didn't mean for it to go that far. You smell like one of the good ones to me. You're cold, you say? The goat slowly began to move towards Skookie, noticing for the first time how small she was. Small, but wiry. The goat moved in behind Skookie and lay down, allowing the girl to settle beside him. Since goats have a higher body temperature than humans, Skookie quickly warmed up and drifted off to sleep. The goat stayed awake long into the night, listening to the storm and thinking about how the last child he'd encountered in this canyon had spoken a different language, had worn different clothing, and hadn't smelled so darn civilized.
The rain is on the roof.
Woke early the next morning, stretching cramped muscles and getting a good look at each other for the first time. Goat was a big goat. At least 3.5 feet at the shoulder, 150 pounds, and 2.25 feet in length, Goat was big and magnificent. His black coat gleamed in the sun and his horns curved majestically over his back. Skookie's eyes took in a beard that was at least a foot long, and she suddenly noticed a kind of twinkling in the air surrounding the goat. It was as if heat waves were coming off him, but something inside her told her they were more than just heat waves. There was something rather magical and ancient about this goat. Skookie was about 4'9 and skinny, crowned with a mane of strawberry blonde curls and waves. Goat breathed deeply and thought that something smelled mildly magical about her too. "Shall we be moving on then?" inquired Goat. "I would like to find some food, if nothing else." He looked wistfully off into the morning light and then back again at Skookie. "How much do you weigh, huh? Maybe 65 pounds? You're small, but I can see you've got some muscle," he mused. "Yes," Skookie said, "I guess so." "Good," said Goat. "I can carry you on my back, and you can tell me why you called me to you and what it is I'm supposed to help you with." "Called you to me? I didn't call you to me. If I recall correctly, it was you who was following me, Goat, and I don't know what you're talking about in terms of helping me. I don't need help." "Seems to me you needed help just last night. You would have nearly, if not totally, frozen to death if not for me." "Listen, silly child, you get a seat up there and you quit your squirming. That's my skin." Skookie froze in her ministrations and slowly settled into an awkward perch on Goat's back, grasping his horns for balance. "That's right, good girl. Anyway, this is how it works. I only find you lost children when you need my help. I haven't been needed for a very long time, but you spoke out to me and I came. That's how it works." Goat said all of this very matter-of-factly, and then was silent, letting Skookie mull over his words. "Well, you're right about last night, but I still don't understand what's going on. Listen, I also want to say that I'm really happy to have met your acquaintance, because to be perfectly honest, I am absolutely thrilled to have met a magical goat." Goat's steps seemed to liven after she'd said this, and she thought she could see his lip curl into a smile. The late afternoon found the pair lolling in the sunshine of a high mountain meadow, wildflowers well over their heads moving with the breeze to and fro. Skookie had told Goat all about her decision to stay in Colorado with her father and stepmother after her mother had announced that she was taking Skookie and Mako, her brother, to southeastern Kentucky to grow their own food and live off the land. Skookie had balked at the idea. First and foremost, she considered herself to be a child of the desert, more so than her parents' child. She'd spent more time among the jackrabbits, prickly pear, juniper, and pinyon than with them. Not only that, but she didn't always see eye to eye with her mother. Her mom was always whining that she should be inside with clean nails and dresses rather than outside with torn jeans, scraped elbows, and dirt everywhere. Her dad, on the other hand, he understood such truths as dirty knees and lots of scars after a long-fought summer. Her younger brother, by just 13 months, he liked to remind people, had decided to go along with their mom. He didn't like their new stepmom at all. Neither did Skookie. Skookie told Goat how hard it was to let her brother go without her, since she was supposed to be his protector and best friend, always and forever. She told Goat how the thing she wanted more than anything in the world was for her parents to get over themselves so they could focus on keeping Mako and her together. After all, Skookie said, he's the only brother I got, and I personally think he's worth keeping around. Goat mulled this over with a large ball of cud, chewing thoughtfully first in his right cheek, then his left. His fur seemed to shine iridescent in the sunlight, gleaming first black, then purple, blue, then green. When Skookie squinted her eyes at him, she thought he looked like a small black unicorn with a curved horn. Has anyone ever told you, you sort of look like a unicorn with a curved horn, if you squint your eyes like this and you turn your head like this? Skookie was now on all fours with her head on the ground, her hands placed on either side of her head for balance. Of course, silly girl, but other children have used a different word, though the meaning was the same. You know, unicorns are close cousins to us goats. That's why a few of us are still a bit magical. Now be quiet and let me cut over all this for a while. Skookie nodded. This all made perfect sense to her. Not until her skin began to prickle with cold did Goat finally get up, relieve himself right where he was. All goats have a disgusting habit of doing that. Try to potty train one, I dare you. And looked in Skookie's direction. Seems to me, said Goat, that we should get you off this mountain before night sets in and you almost freeze to death again. Saddle up, child. And he knelt beside her, allowing Skookie to scramble aboard. Where would you like to spend the night tonight, I can take us wherever you'd like to go, Goat offered.
Just caught in velvet, I need not a song.
Fuki thought wistfully of the rock shelter and its safe, thick rock walls, but she knew it'd be a terrible strain for Goat to carry her there, as they wouldn't arrive until well after nightfall. The moment Skooky thought that thought, the air constricted and shimmered around her, and she had the distinct sensation of being turned inside out. She was aware of a large popping noise that made her entire body shake with the shockwave, and then she was in the rock shelter standing beside Goat. How? She ventured, looking sideways at Goat. Oh, it's an old trick passed on to us goats and the other animals who haven't forgotten the wild way. I knew a human or two who could travel like that. In some cultures, they're called yogis and lamas. Goat replied, his coat still shimmering from the residual magic. Time for bed, Missy. If we're going to solve this little family crisis of yours, you're going to need your sleep. Skooky dreamt of herself in the third person that night. She saw her translucent body, brimming with the cleanest white light she'd ever seen. She saw that light spill over her body's edges and rush through the darkness toward figures that quickly became Mako, her father and mother. The tiniest wisp of the light even reached toward a half-dark figure she was sure was her stepmother. In the dream, Goat suddenly appeared, dancing on what become moonbeams connecting her to her family. Her body was glowing and overflowing with the white light.
Oh, they got me talking. They got me talking to the bluebirds. Honey, honey, where have I gone?
Goat made a spectacular leap toward the tiny thread connecting her to her stepmother, his hooves connecting to the beam and bringing with them a flood of Skooky's white light. Her stepmother's face flared up for a moment, but was gone before Skooky could really see it. Skooky rolled over and felt something sharp in her side. Leaping to her feet, she saw that, in his sleep, Goat's head had slipped around her and his horns had been pointing just inches away from her eye. And in a flash, she was hit with the memory of the dream, remembering the pure white light emanating from her body. She stood at the shelter's open mouth and held her hand up to the sun, blocking it out, but leaving enough of its light to shine around her hand, creating the same translucent effect. Skooky focused on sending this light to Mako and her parents, and then in an afterthought, to her stepmother too. At this point, Goat had awakened and stood beside her, itching his cheek on her arm. So that dream you had, Goat began, do you understand what it means? Skooky started his question, but instead said, I pulled you into my dream, didn't I? I could feel myself calling you in the dream. The darkness and light scared me a little and needed you there. I didn't understand what I was seeing, but then you came into the dream and you made me understand that the white light was good and that it was a real solid thing between me and my family, and that I need to give some of my light to my stepmother too, since this is her family now also. Skooky stopped, allowing what she'd said to sink into herself. You're a quick study. Talk much with the prairie dogs? They're a talkative bunch, but don't let it fool you. They're some of the wisest around, living underground and being in touch with Mother Earth on such a regular basis. They'd like talking to you. They like quick studies, Goat said, almost talking to himself. Well, Skooky, I think you know what you have to do. Keep in mind that every young human goes through a time of rejection and rebellion against their parents. You know your mother loves you, Skooky, and you know you love her too. He stopped, looking thoughtful, and then said, And you must always remember that you can dream yourself out of any problem. The trick is believing in yourself enough to make the dream come true. Skooky nodded. Something told her that her time with Goat was drawing to a close. Goat, she said quietly, will you take me to meet the prairie dogs and other animals before you take me home again? I don't want to say goodbye quite yet, she said, her voice caught in her throat. She realized that in the few short hours she'd spent with Goat, she'd come to care for the beast. Goat knelt for the last time and leapt into the air the moment Skooky'd taken a firm hold of his horns. The air constricted, shimmered, her body felt the pop, and she was somewhere dark with lots of other bodies around her. The last thing she heard from Goat was, Just think yourself home. Just close your eyes, imagine your room perfectly, and when you open them, you will be there. As her eyes adjusted to the darkness, she realized that the other bodies were people, and that the people were stout, furry, and actually very adorable. Hello, I'm Skooky. I am very interested to meet you. She bowed deeply, just as Goat taught her, and stood straight back up again. Skooky came to the realization that she was the same size as the prairie dogs, and she smiled.
Faster than light, if you want to. Speeding through the universe, thinking is the best way to travel.
passing by on a screen. And there's you and I on a beam, speeding through the universe. Thinking is the best way to travel.
Where they going, this is the fine man. Hell, don't know I'm gonna make me go blind. Oh, why he did tickle me down to my toes. Oh, have mercy, why not have it through his nose. Where they going, this is for my dream. Oh, why not this phone drive me insane. Oh, why he did tickle me down to my toes.
You've been listening to Montezuma Mixtape. Today's guest has been Caitlin Summer.
We believe that everyone has a story to tell. If you're ready to tell yours, contact us by sending an email to montezumamixtape@gmail.com.
Montezuma Mixtape is created, produced, and hosted by myself, Greg Harple, and Ian Mott.
Our thanks goes to our storytellers and to KSJD, Dryland Community Radio.
Visit KSJD.org to find full Montezuma Mixtape episodes streaming online.
Join us again next month for another story from Montezuma County.
Let your number roll.